North Star legislation right now, especially with regards to where the state isn't the direct owner, like on public construction, is kind of the state of the art. And the best that a lot of folks, the legislature and the administration and the industry, could come up with. The big key is that everything in that is voluntary. VP sat there at the hearings, nope, no gun to my head, no knife at my back, this is voluntary. I agree to this, this language to adopt a program to hire residents. Then within that context, you have the definition of resident, which was a pretty good one in the North Star legislation, and it would be basically be similar. And it set the bar however high you want. Driver's license and motor vehicle registration are too low, as has been said. But and the way they found their way in there, in our most recent non-resident working in Alaska publication, we've, for the first time, put kind of a matrix of different indicators of residency. And I'd say those are pretty low indicators, but we use driver's license because that's how we access the fish and game hunting license. Well, they don't have social security numbers. They will soon, I think, as a result of child support enforcement stuff. But the working group on oil and gas resident hire, the industry administration group, like many others before, it wrestled back and forth. What's a resident? What's a resident? And kind of at the last iteration was it's in the eye of the beholder. Let the person looking at the data decide. We can say XYZ company has 1,000 employees on the North Slope. 800 of them got a permanent fund dividend. 700 of them had a resident hunting and fishing license. 950 had an Alaska driver's license. Maybe most people look and say, oh, who cares? But then also voter registration, 30 days and intent to stay, yes, but at least you commit a misdemeanor if you register to vote and don't really live here or intend to live here. So that's kind of where we were going in the ongoing efforts on North Slope resident hire. Just with regard to North Star, BP gives us very, very detailed reports every 3 months. They're only required every 6 months under the North Star statute. But it goes down to, it covers everybody, all contractors, subcontractors, in-state, out-of-state, the stuff that's going on out-of-state, because there is some North Star activity going on right now. And it gives us not only the manpower bodies, but also hours, which can be real interesting. So there's a wealth of information there. It's relatively contemporaneous, not a year and a half lag like we have on our formal resident hire report, and would certainly allow for public awareness if there was abuses going on or failure to live up to any standard or any contractual agreement that is eventually agreed to when the parties, the players, are known. At this time, it's conjecture. So I would just answer any questions. Mr. Ostrowski didn't need my help with any of the stuff. Responding to any of the questions, if there's anything specific about our efforts, I'd be glad to answer any further questions.
Representative Kemplin, you have a question for Mr. Flanagan.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Flanagan, page 15 of the proposed bill, it talks about, down on line 14, talks about qualified. And possesses the requisite education, training, skills, certification, or experience to perform the work necessary for a particular position or to perform a particular service. Has the Department of Labor given any sort of hard thinking to the future demand for qualified Alaskans for this project, and whether or not we have in our current labor pool sufficient numbers of qualified Alaskans to meet that projected demand for this project?
Through the chair, Representative Kemplin, not necessarily for this project, but on a related and a more, I don't want to say real world, but a more tangible basis, there is a great depending on what, I guess the oil prices could affect that, but there is a projected large amount of work, 99 and 2000, on the North Slope, and that's a more immediate concern, and the Human Resources Investment Council and the Oil and Gas Working Group has done a skills and a projected labor needs assessment for that with the industry for that period, and looking at put a matrix of the training available and tried to identify the training needs for that that large demand for the skilled oil field workers, that's a lot more immediate than even under the rosiest scenario the gas line would be. So if we address that need and meet it, it would roll over and take care of this one. And the only good thing about this project being always, you know, a few years in the future is that there will be sufficient time, hopefully, for training programs, employer, state, union, whatever, to ramp up in anticipation of the demand.
Quick follow-up, Mr. Chairman. There's a proposed there was a suggestion that a way to help solidify the connection between the industry's needs for trained labor and the provision of that trained labor was to there's a notion that's floating about in this legislation for a payment in lieu of taxes, and that one of the suggestion has been that there could be a credit against that payment in lieu of taxes, sort of an education / training credit, so that, for example, an oil company or a supplier could train their labor force and get a benefit, which would be a credit against this payment in lieu of taxes. Now, are you saying there that the energy industry here in Alaska is there's already a very solid connection that's already been established, and this notion here of a training credit would not be needed?
Through the chair, no, I wouldn't say so. I think the efforts to date have probably identified the needs. I think there's probably there's definitely still work to be done on addressing the needs, and an incentive along the lines that you're proposing, I don't think has been discussed, but it would certainly merit consideration.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, Mr. Flanagan. Representative Bryce, you have a question or comment?
Yeah, very quickly, on page 13, when we're talking about contract terms relating to Alaska Hire and Alaska Contracting, we give a couple of provisos on requiring local or asking for local hire. One is availability, one is qualification, the other one is competitively priced labor. Competitively priced compared to what? You see that on line 30, page 13?
Yeah, I see it. I assume it just means
Competitive to, say, a bunch of Guatemalans brought up and kept in tents, or competitive to...
I can't place that in context for you, Representative Bryce.
Okay, I was just wondering.
In that discussion on that language.
Okay, I was just wondering if there was... Okay.
It'll be noted, Representative Bryce, that you did read the contract.
Or did I read the bill?
Yes, the bill, yes.
Thank you.
Any further questions or discussions? I'd like to wrap up here in just a couple minutes. Thank you, gentlemen, for answering our questions. And Mr. Stosky, I hope that you can give us some information. And
I'll be getting there.
See how high we can set the bar. The next meeting will be Thursday, March 12th. We'll be doing House Bill 380 and House Bill 393. The intention will be to wrap up discussion on House Bill 380 and move the bill out of committee, and then the next referral is finance. We're currently working on a CS for this bill, House Bill 393. We plan to introduce it on Thursday. Committee members are encouraged to bring any comments or changes they may wish to make to my office, so they may be incorporated into CS. And any controversial ones, we'll recommend that you do an amendment. But the CS will be what we can generally all live with, and then any amendments on things that may be of special interest to individuals. With that, any further comments from any of the members? We'll make the CS available as soon as possible, hopefully tomorrow. And ask that committee members make themselves aware of the changes and come prepared to speak on the specifics of the bill. I do want to get this bill out of here by the 19th and move it on to resources. With that, I would adjourn. Thank you very much.